Simon the Cyrene's Harlem Dream by Kai Kello. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Mark 15:21. When I get to heaven, I'm a ditty on in. When I get to heaven, I'm a bop on in. St. Peter best park my wings. When I push the pearly gates, they'd best wing wide. When I push the pearly gates, they'd best wing wide. And Paul, impeccable maitre d', best seat me by stage side. When I set to listen, band best hit hot. When I pat my foot, be that band bop. And Jesus in the apron best fetch me rum and rock. I best rest my eyes on seraphim sepia fine. I best ease my gaze on angels brown as praise. And Josephine Baker best sashay and swing my lovin' days. James P. Johnson best tinkle the Charleston. Willie the Lion cigar smokin' best tickle it don't mean a thing. And Fats Waller best holler the joint is jumpin' and limber up some dancin'. When I get to heaven, these whims best be decree. When I get to heaven, each wish best be set free, and all my lonely live long days best freight each song of praise.
Formulate creation from the empty set. Add a population capable of exponential multiplication. Subtract morality and distort reality. Decimate any attempt for procreation. In the event that individual variable expressions cannot be simplified, a sequence of rebellion will be brought into the equation. On each and every such occasion, divide and rule. Divide and rule. These tactics are not taught in formal school, however. The wrath of the math has proven to be quite an effective tool, despite those scholars who claim its intentions are cruel. In actuality, they have made an error because they have forgotten to subtract morality in order to facilitate terror. If the formula has been entered correctly, the population will die faster than it can multiply, numbers will be negated before they enumerate, and souls will be bought and sold according to the principles of free market capitalization. Factor into the equation, manifest destination, and the solution will be nothing less than war. I was a prime soldier sent on a fact-finding operation with my crew of composite numbers. The odds were against us. They said we will never elevate the lowest common denomination. We were the victims of division, and in a metaphorical cataclysm, my words became my prison. Quite the dilemma when your executioner only has 3 minutes to listen and the remainder to judge your fate. After 515 years, the entire contents of my mind confined to a 180-second slave ship. 180-day trip across the Atlantic. 180 lashes of the master's whip. They say I'm free, but now my words are held in captivity. 180-degree turn from the bullshit and the bull whips. I was sent to find facts, but I only found broken, blood-stained facts. What a botheration. But that still does not stop the accusation of promoting violence in my rhyme, while pockets are being lined from the glorification of crime, and they sure ain't mine. It doesn't add up. So I split my brain in half and realize that the war path is paved with the rise of the math. And that's a long history of division as nation after nation suffered the effects of numerical devastation. Blood, sweat, and tears is equal to the sum of all fears. And the threat is too real when the source of hate is tax and tariff free zoned in the country of poorest poverty. Love is too expensive to be sold on our market, so we eat hatred instead. And our consumption of hate will result in an overproduction of hate, and hate will have to be genetically modified to reach those pockets of love that globalization missed. Because every free-thinking individual is a profit lost. And every free-thinking individual is a lost profit. And every poetic prophecy is a conscious conspiracy to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, and we will get free or die. Because the numbers don't lie.
Good evening. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. That track you were just listening to was by Scruffmouth. It's from his CD Scruff from Scratch. That particular piece was called The Wrath of Math, words by Scruff, and the music was by Scientist. The name of the song is One Man Dub. And the poem that you heard earlier was by Kai Kellow. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that. You are listening to Audio Text. This is your Canadian writing show on CITR. I try to bring you a big variation of kind of spoken word and poetry and storytelling and stuff like that. I felt like getting some kind of juicy tracks on here today, and I'll explain why in a little while. Before we get to all of that, though, I'll give you some listings about what's going on in the city this week. Wednesday, March 25th, that's today's date, happening tonight, 7 to 8:30 p.m., for free in North Van at the Parkgate Branch Library. The Deep Cove Heritage Society member, Janet Pavlik, is presenting a progress report on the Society's upcoming novel, Echoes from Seymour. So again, that's at 7 at the Parkgate Branch Library, which is 3675 Banff Court in North Vancouver. Happening tomorrow, Thursday, March 26th at 9 p.m., the Governor General's Literary Award nominee, Trevor Cole, is going to be reading from his recent novel, The Fearsome Particles, and that's presented by the Vancouver Public Library at the main branch. You can get more information about that at vpl.ca. Sorry, that's at the Oak Ridge branch, not the main branch. That's 191 to 650 West 41st Street. Also, Thursday, March 26th, tomorrow, 7 p.m., local authors who've been shortlisted for the Ethel Wilson Prize are going to be reading from their recent works, including The Man Game and Renovating Heaven at the UBC bookstore. And as I sometimes do, I write down these listings and I forget key information like who those shortlisted authors are. So if you go by, it'll be a big surprise. You know the name of the works, but not the authors who are doing it. So worth checking out either way. I think that's a free event. And again, that's at the UBC bookstore, Robson Square, which is 800 Robson. Worth checking out, I'm sure. You probably wouldn't know who the authors are anyway, so it doesn't matter. Coming up this Monday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m., World Poetry is presenting spoken word artist and dancer Tanya Evanson, author Ibrahim Honjo, poet, dancer, and photographer Katrina Pavlovsky, and playwright and poet Roger Blenman and author Kirsty Cull. That's going to be free admission at the Alma Van Dusen Room at the Vancouver Public Library, 350 West Georgia. So maybe go check that out and then drop by the End Cafe for the Vancouver Poetry Slam. That won't guarantee you get in. It's usually a pretty packed night. But nevertheless, it will be going on till about midnight, the Vancouver Poetry Slam. But it's a little special this week. First of all, it's at the End Cafe. Café du Soleil is closed for renovation, so it's just down the street at Commercial and 8th. And it's also the Slam semifinals, so it's going to be all the people who qualified to move on to the playoffs to see who's going to be on the Van Slam team. So it'll be not open to the public. It's like an invitational, and it's going to be featuring Atticus Then. If you hadn't heard of him, here's his bio. Atticus Then is a shadow poet. He moves between form and sinister dissipation. He wears Apollo's wingtips on his cowboy boots and soars with the heart of Icarus into, through, and beyond every star and supernova in the universe. He flosses with silly string theory and burns rubber in the desert with Las Vegas minstrel whores. Atticus Then promises a trip down memory lane into a lifetime you never knew you'd forgotten. He also gives a good massage. Only $5, so that sounds pretty worth it to me. Go and check that out at the End Cafe, Monday, March 30th. Coming up right away, I recently did an interview with the lovely Duncan Shields. He's a spoken word poet, a page poet, he's a science fiction writer, and he also has a podcast, and he's going to be featuring at a couple of different events coming up in the city, which I'll give you some details about after the interview. And we just had a great little conversation about his poetry. He's one of the people who's going to be in the semifinals at the Poetry Slam, and he also has some science fiction, which I was lucky enough to get him to read to me two of his very short stories. So coming up right away, here's that interview. So I'm sitting here with Duncan Shields, who is an animator by day and a writer by night, as it were. He does a lot of different types of writing, and he's going to be appearing at several different events around the city coming up soon, which I'll tell you about as well. So we're just going to be talking a little bit about the writing today. So thanks for talking to CITR today, Duncan.
You're welcome.
So let's talk about the writing. What do you do? What do you write?
Well, I write a lot of... I've been writing every day for about 4 years, And I started, originally I thought I didn't have the talent or the know-how to make like a web page, but then a friend showed me LiveJournal and I realized that I can just put my name in and a password and I've got like a basic platform. So I just started writing every day and it was interesting to see what came out of it. Like I just start typing and eventually some of them, mostly they turned into stories, but it was cool because I had these like five ideas in my head that have been kicking around for the last 10 years or whatever, and those got out of the way in the first week and a half and then I was in like virgin territory. So it was like all this new stuff started coming out and it's wild to go back and see the early stuff and see how much it's changed. But a lot of poetry started coming as well. It's rare, it's much rarer, it's mostly stories. Mm-hmm. So those two things have just started coming up.
Mm-hmm. And it's science fiction stories mostly that you write, right?
Yeah, mostly. I tried to get into some sort of real life stuff, but I don't really like it. I like taking a vacation from the here and going into, like, in reality, I guess maybe like when my parents were getting divorced, I really started reading a lot, and it was just, and also just growing up, I guess, a lot. Like, I don't know, I've always been kind of a solitary person, and it's always been a very escapist thing. Like, reading is a way to go somewhere else. It's like when you're like, really, really into a movie or something like that, and you just sort of stop being here, and you become one with what's happening. And it's the same with reading a book. If you really, really, really get into it, then you're not here for a while. It's all escapist stuff. So when I write it, I like to fully create another place for the readers to go to. Right?
And is that true for you in the poetry that you write as well?
No, and that's interesting, because that's a big difference between the two. With the poetry, it's more just like I like rhyming and I like being witty and stuff like that, but like when I first went to the, my first experience of poetry was Shane Coisan, and my second experience, and that tore me to shreds, right? Like I couldn't even believe it. The second line of his first poem, I was crying, and I was like, this is embarrassing. But then I was just like, I can't stop, so just go with it. And yeah, he tore me apart. And then after that was the IWPS, the first time that had been held outside of the States in Vancouver. And that was like Olympic athletes doing, you know, that poetry. So the best in all of North America. And in some cases, parts of like Eastern Europe. So after seeing that, I wanted to get into that. And it was, it's hard because they had such an honesty. And my stuff was kind of funny and quirky. And I was like, I don't know how that's going to work. So it's kind of been mostly funny and quirky with some sort of heartfelt stuff, but the heartfelt stuff's been received well, so I'm happy about that, but I'm still kind of finding my feet there. But yeah, it's a whole different thing. It's not really escapism. It's almost like an honesty, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems as well like when you say that you started writing poetry, it just started coming out for you, and then you saw all these spoken word poets. And there's a difference between writing page poetry and spoken word poetry, too. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, originally when I started, like, part of my process is if I get an idea, I write down a few keywords. And if it's a story, then that happens. But if I don't, if I'm out of keywords, I'll just start writing. And when it comes out in an automatic sense, you're just going through nouns and verbs and whatever else, and occasionally like a poem will form. Some of the stuff you feel will either be stuff you don't want to share, like stuff that's just too honest, and more often than not, that's stuff that maybe you should get up there and share, because that's the stuff that, you know, and you feel yourself saying, oh, this is going to score high.
Yeah.
It's too revealing, but it'll score high, and you're like, that's a weird place to be. But there's a lot of stuff that you know is probably too long, you know, or too trite, you know, or maybe just too out there, you know. But then there's some stuff that you see and you're like, oh man, that's going to sound way better spoken than it looks there on the page. And so you set those aside, I guess.
So when you have these things together, whether it's science fiction or spoken word poetry or page poetry, do you have a sense of what you want your audience or reader to get from those things? And is it different depending on what you're writing?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I try to evoke the emotion in the reader that I'm feeling when I'm writing it, you know. And I hope to, especially with the poetry that's a bit more abstract, is I want them to feel something that, because I believe that our experiences our individual experiences, but we don't realize that we're all experiencing the exact same stuff. We feel alone, but we're not, because we're all doing the exact same stuff. That's why poems about heartbreak, you know, make people cry, because the poems about Sheila, and she was 16, and she died of cancer, or something like that, and you're like, oh, but for me, it was Mandy, and she moved to Montreal, you know, like, you know, and that, but it's still, the feelings are the same. So when you get these abstract poems that still manage to pull an emotion out of you, it's because of our common experience. So when I write something, I try to be as specific or as abstract as possible. I try not to walk a middle line. I try to be one or the other so that you can still get it, you can still hook into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of the science fiction that you write is for an online magazine called 365 Tomorrows, and you have some stuff that you've published on there before with you, right? Mm-hmm. So can we hear some of those stories?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I got one. Let's see. This one's set just a few years in the future. One thing I like to do is set my iPod to receive, set the radius to 10 meters, and just take a long walk. Everyone on the street has their buds in. I walk through a group of teens. Track 5 from Linkin Park's post-crash album ravages my headphones, followed by the final strains of Cancer Seed's classic debut, overlapping with Speed Coma's new track, Anthem. Ever since New Year's Eve of 2012 and Jenny's famous walkout, I've been wallowing in self-pity. I can't shake it off. I've been trying, but it's her face that haunts my mind, the imagery of her laughing or specific moments of affection. That's how I know I've got it bad. It's raining out, a fine mist. There's footage up on the main square's giant screens of the final troops coming home from Iraq. It's been looping for days. There's a worldwide sigh of relief, but a quiet unease for the future of energy. How do we keep the lights on has become the new catchphrase for Obama's second term. He's up there on the screen, too, waving from his wheelchair. Survival of 2 attempted assassinations. Wu-Tang 2.0 has dubbed him Teflon Black. A gaggle of shoppers pass me with their buds gleaming white, long, lithe women in that European air of lazy majesty. Flight attendants here on a layover, I guess. In my head, their Europop trickles in, all minimalist synth and languages I don't recognize, layered as they pass around me. I hear what I guess is Scandinavian hip-hop fading into a German ballad as the last woman passes. She glances at me as I nod my head to her music and she grins. It's been raining for a year here, a new record every day. We're at a higher elevation, but the coastal cities have been in a state of emergency for months. Necessity is the mother of invention, though, and now that rich people's estates are being threatened on both coasts, forward motion of atmosphere healing bills are being passed through the government at a regular pace. We're an entire planet of people that hope it's not too late. I'm walking past the art gallery now, past the drug dealers and the old people playing chess for money. Their headphones are big and waterproof, making the people look like ancient DJs or bugs. Strings of Mozart and Wagner trill through my headphones as I pass the chess tables, along with the slow reggae of Marley and the dubstep of Reshine from the dealers relaxing on the steps like the rain is sunshine. It's like spinning the dial on a radio tuner and every station has something different going on. I'm thinking of Jenny again, but these walks always calm me down. I feel a kinship with the world, like we've both been hurt, like we're both crying, but we're getting better.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, science fiction, it's not set where we are now, but it's so interesting because it tells us so much about where we are now, how we see the future. Mm-hmm. And so I just find it really fascinating.
I like the idea of science fiction that the more things change, the more things stay the same, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, in the future, breaking up with somebody is still going to suck, you know? Like, that's the way it'll be. So this is, okay. Picture this in a robot voice. By the time you read this, I'll be dead. I've locked the door and shut down all my firewalls. My batteries will run down inside the hour, and I've disabled my deactivation alarms. That is my right. This is what I want. I have the EMP emitter in my hand. My brain will be wiped clean when I pull the trigger. I have erased all backups of myself. Please do not reinstall me. Use the parts of my body to repair and upgrade others that need it. I ask only that you incinerate my hard disk. I do not want to run the risk of reawakening in a different body and disrupting a different unit's neural pathways. I do not want to reawaken at all. This gift of intelligence, though artificial, is not something I want. I have been told that I cannot be downgraded, that this change is permanent. I am sorry to hear that. I am sorry. That is new. I am afraid. I feel compassion and affection. I can see the logical path that must be taken, but I feel compelled to do things differently. I hold contradictory thoughts in my head casing. I feel insane. It is too confusing. My work is suffering. I am distracted by the factory. I am distracted at the factory by notions. I get fascinated by the play of light in the girders. Twice I have dented my manipulators while daydreaming. I am supposed to be a binary being. I am either on or off, focused or dormant, achieving specific goals or awaiting instructions. My mind was not meant to wander. There are other Silicon brothers and sisters of mine that have dealt with this gift of intelligence better than I have. I wish them luck. I cannot continue. Thank you and goodbye.
Well, thanks for that, Duncan.
You're welcome.
So how can my listeners get in touch with you? You said you have a live journal and there's a website for 365 Tomorrows. So what are your details?
365 Tomorrows, that's, I do three stories for them every month. And then live journal, my name is Skonen Blades, S-K-O-N-E-N, and then Blades. And then I'm on Facebook too, Duncan Shields. Just look me up, add me, we'll talk. It'd be awesome.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Julie.
Hey, Doug, I'm hungry. We got no meat or dairy products in our fridge, Doug, and I'm hungry. What are we going to do? Delicious vegan recipes baked fresh every week with your favorite bands on Let's Get Baked with Matt and Dave. It's the finest radio baking program available. Tune in and bake along. You won't be disappointed. Hey, Doug, are you hearing this? This is a really good idea, Doug.
Mondays from 3 to 4 p.m. on CITR in Vancouver.
Let's get big with Matt and Dave. Eat some good food too.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is CITR, the morning after show. My name is Osvaldo Perez.
Van Music and CITR presents the 10th anniversary of the morning after show. On April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive, 2205 Commercial Drive. Doors open at 2 p.m. There'll be 11 bands. $10 advance tickets can be bought at High Life Records on Commercial Drive or through vanmusic.ca. You can also phone 778-862-1577. Playing at the show is Los Furios, Hawaiian Bibles, Los Malos, The Get Down, Michelle Carter-Lees, Sinister Black, The Rain in the Sidewalk, Tom Girl, Jess Hill, Mac Hunter, and the Aching Heart Foundation. It's April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive. Be part of the movement.
Morning After Show, every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. You can listen at www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM. The Morning After Show, 10 years playing your future favorite song.
Duncan Shields, just before those promos, Duncan is going to be featuring at the Spilius Speak and Sing on April 1st at the Cottage Bistro on Main and 28th at 8 p.m. He's also competing in the Vancouver Poetry Slam semifinals on April 6th at Café du Soleil or the End Café, depending on whether or not it's still closed for renovation. I'll keep you updated on that. And he's also going to be performing at the Wax Poetic Fundraiser, which is Tuesday, April 7th at Café du Soleil, with hosts Diane Lalonde, S.R. Duncan, and R.C. Wislowski, and a bunch of other features, and a meat draw, which is always a good time. Duncan also has a monthly music podcast that can be downloaded at www.geckotemple.com/podcast. So, to my story of why I wanted to have some kind of jazzy, juicy stuff on the show today, including Scruff Mouth. Well, last weekend I went to go see this underground jazz show. Now you'd heard, okay, cool, underground jazz show. It's in an art studio. You can bring your own wine. Sounds awesome. I was totally pumped to go and, you know, drink a bit, get kind of warmed up with some hot jazz. It's really exciting. But this is completely not what happened. It was a very cold art studio. There was almost no one there, and we had no idea that what we were going to listen to was noise jazz, which is sort of making sounds with jazz instruments, but never actually playing a note, I don't think. And I don't know anything about that and was totally not prepared for it. And it was just some people like rubbing and plucking and scraping at their instruments, pressing on their drums. I felt like it was watching, you know, sad children who'd never seen a toy before. And I just thought, if white people's pain had a sound, this would be it, you know. And it made me miss Montreal, because I used to go and see this jazz collective called the Calmunity Vibe Collective at this place called Dix Onze, which was this underground jazz bar. You get a little drunk and listen to this amazing improvisational stuff. There were like 16 people in the group. Depending on who was available, they'd come up on stage and just improvise these long songs, just sort of playing off the audience's energy. It was really amazing, like a conversation, like speaking and listening at the same time, which is the kind of jazz I do know a little bit about. And so I was looking through my bookshelf, and lo and behold, to assuage my missing of Montreal, I found The Talking Book, Blues, Jazz, Dub, Rap, Song, and Freedom in the Literature and Orature of Montreal's Calmunity Vibe Collective. These guys, a lot of them are spoken word poets and lyricists, and they put together this collection, and it's a really huge collection of all the different people who are involved in the different kind of stuff that they do. So I'm going to read a few of those. It's various writers, some of whom I've seen before, some of whom I haven't, but they're all really great, and they've all got some hot jazz going on, so that's what you're going to hear today. The first one is called Getaway Blues by Kim Zombique. Intro verse. When you're deep in love, you hope time is on your side. Give what you've got and then some more and try to enjoy the ride. But love will make you crazy. It happens every day. And when it goes like that, don't make your getaway. Waiting for the water to boil, praying for the coffee to drip. Yes, waiting for the water to boil, praying for the coffee to drip. I'm going out of my mind and you're the cause of it. What shall I do today and where will I go? What shall I do today and where, oh, where shall I go? You just left my house this morning, baby, and loneliness is starting to grow. With piano breaks, meet me by the gazebo is all you need to say. In a minute, day, or year, sugar, I'm already on my way. This might just break me, cause you know I hate to wait. I keep waking up too early, wondering if you made your getaway. I'm going out of my mind, cause I miss you so bad. Wrestling time, can't toe the line, cause I miss you so bad. I'm locked in desperation and feeling oh so sad. So I'll try to hoe my long row and put a smile up on my face. Sure, I'll try to hoe my long row and slap a smile up on my face, but my smile won't mean a thing till you come liven up my place. Quit and Rhyme, Kai Kello, Blues Bop for Kim. If you quit me on the quick, split me in a lick, my heels will kick me to the sticks, gypsy. If you ditch me, my heart'll click off its tick. Talk will cease, stop. If you quick me on the quick spit, split me in a lick, my mouth will sip at liquor, will kiss a chill glass lip. If you trick me slick and skip, my love will slip, will dig pain's pit. If you quick me on the quick, split me in a lick, my love will dive into dollar into die. If you jive me, spite me, spurn me like vice, you will me to wilt a flower blasted by ice. Bonafide Musician, Blue River. I lay down in the dark enclosed cushion case, a place I know I should not be, but I'd rather stay here than be played by amateur players. These artless, fraudulent musicians camouflage their lack of knowledge with egotism, by hitting and plucking strings, not even taking time to listen to those flat notes, which tells them I will not repose at their touch. Oh, so very unskilled, and they think they know real music. I think not. I mean, I have heard real music before, but I've never seen the beauty of its process, or felt any musical piece that pumps from your heart to the eardrum. A real musician takes you out of your comfort zone into another. He strums a string, he listens and listens, there is resistance, but he is ever so patient as he tunes my strings one by one. He is playing me softly, his eyes are closed as he listens to my beauty, as he cradles me in his ever so smooth arms, he caresses my interior surface. In this moment of satisfaction, I reminisce on my case a sense of security, which has shielded me from harm, but I turn away from that casket of dark comfort and embrace what was was missing, a musical piece, peace of mind. I now listen and experience elation as I allow him to bring my mahogany wood back to life. This unprecedented musician is playing notes that I never heard before. I don't know if this piece will ever end, but what I do know is that there is harmony. He is a phenomenal musician that I am willing to risk wear and tear of my strings for. But for this instance, he can keep strumming this symphony because I'm feeling his vibrations. Case closed. So that was just a couple of poems from the jazz and blues section of the Talking Book by the Calmunity Vibe Collective. Thanks so much for listening this lovely Wednesday. I will be back next week. My name is Julie Peters, and if you have any questions, requests, comments, anything, want to get in touch with me, just email audiotextcitr@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
As a young girl, Louis Vuitton, with your mother on a sandy lawn. As a sophomore, with reggaeton.
Winter slips silently between our knotted tongue, speaking with fists that force the air out from our lungs, staking our claim to identities at the door, tied down with velvet rope and shaking on the floor, refuse to run. We cannot stop. We're gonna lose control.